So the Oculus Rift started shipping today. The earliest reviews are in. Scott is still waiting for his, and I know he's been super excited about it for a long time. Today we invited Peter Rubin from Wired, who posted his review this morning. Welcome, Peter.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So you have a great long review, so I'm going to ask you a hard question. As a long-form writer, can you describe your experience in just a few words?
Just a few words on launch day. That's a tall order. Let's say I found myself in the virtual reality I've been waiting 3 years for. How's that?
That's good. So was it, let's start with like comfort. Was it comfortable?
Very comfortable. I mean, that's some of the best work that they've been doing is on the ergonomic side. You know, certainly externally, visually, it has this design language that's been refined over the years. But the most notable thing about it, and even the thing that puts it a little bit ahead of the other two consumer units that are coming later this year, it's just comfortable. The weight management is absolutely, I don't want to say flawless because I'm sure there's some room for improvement, but the way that the weight is counterbalanced and the way that it's dialed in, once you have the fit right, you can kind of take it off and put it back on and you don't have to futz with the Velcro straps and all the other things. So it's really a nice, pleasant, comfortable. There's no weight on your nose. Any of the things that have been issues with headsets in the past, they seem to have solved.
Can you give me a quick up or down on the audio quality of the headphones that are included or a part of the integrated device? Because that was a big concern for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Moving ahead, audio being a big part of sort of positional presence. Like, am I really in this world? Well, it helps to feel like I'm there auditorily anyway. How did that all pan out?
Well, you got kind of two dimensions to that, two things that they needed to solve. One is to get the 3D, the spatialized audio right, and they had licensed it from a company that had cracked this really well. And so as far as the direction and distance of the source of the sound, it's dead on. And there are little on-ear headphones, as you could see in that little snippet of the review video that we made. And they don't look like much. And that's why when it was first announced last year, maybe a year and a half ago, that this was going to be on the device, people kind of poo-pooed it. But as a lot of audiophiles know, on-ear headphones are maybe the best of the three. You've got in-ear, over-ear, and on-ear. And so it allows for the sound to go in without completely blocking out your surroundings, which, of course, is necessary when your eyesight is taken up by something that isn't the real world. But the sound quality is kind of phenomenal. I've seen other reviews complaining about sound leaking out. I actually haven't experienced that. I was putting this thing through the paces at my house, and every so often if I'd be doing something loud, I'd ask my wife if she could hear what I was doing. And she always said no, though that was probably just being relieved that I wasn't yammering in her ear.
So were there, what things surprised you? I presume that you've used previous versions, like at conferences and such. Was there anything that surprised you in the real thing?
The thing that surprised me probably with this one is that the tracking is 360 degrees, meaning you could spin in an entire circle and it wouldn't lose track of where your headset is in space. The positional tracking is such a key element of the immersion and of enabling presence, and I'll take my hands out of frame now, but really it needs to be able to track you as you move. And in earlier versions, if I would turn all the way around, sometimes it wouldn't get a good read on where my headset was. They still have the infrared LEDs in virtually the same place that they were on earlier versions, but for whatever reason, I have found it just about impossible to break the positional tracking, unless my cat was sitting in front of the infrared sensor, which he delights in doing. Other than that, it's been pretty well spot on.
So it ships with a Xbox One controller, which is nice because they give us a decent, you know, input device until their touch controllers are sort of finalized, and we don't know what those are going to cost yet and all of that. But from the gaming perspective, which is a huge way that this is being positioned at launch, 30 launch titles, all of which are essentially games. Some are more experiential, but for the most part, these are a lot of games. Two pack-ins, for example, that come free for pre-orders, Eve Valkyrie and Lucky's Tale. Your experience in those environments, did you come away going, yeah, gamers are going to, they're going to be excited about this, you know, more, even more so than those who are just looking for, you know, a chance to explore virtual worlds, but actual gamers?
I think so. I mean, they picked the two launch titles that they picked to pack in are the two that have been in the works for the longest and also have been maybe are maybe the most polished, and they really represent kind of a pretty broad swath of the continuum of games. On one hand, you have this kind of hardcore space aerial dogfight shooter in Eve Valkyrie, and it's wonderful. Some other journalists and I were trying to kind of form squads over the past week and take advantage of the mic that's built into the headset and really try to do voice communications. And I wasn't able to get into a squad, and I'm not sure who was. Some of us were having some issues. A lot of that is the usual pre-launch wrinkles. But then on the other side, you have Lucky's Tale, which is this kind of cartoonish, a little bit of Mario, a little bit of Ratchet and Clank, this kind of really cartoonish platformer that's a lot of fun. So those really kind of nicely represent the two poles of gaming. But in between, I was surprised to find some little gems in there. There's one called Vectron Revenge that's essentially a Geometry Wars style shoot 'em up, except there's no controller. You only use your head, and you're in this kind of incredible geometric 360-degree space. And it feels, as soon as you start, like you are going to get sick immediately, but it just doesn't happen. It's a very stable, very comfortable game. But even beyond the, I think there are 30 games that are available on launch day. The most interesting thing about this is the best games that I've seen beyond Lucky's Tale and arguably Eve Valkyrie are the ones that aren't here yet. So there's a long road here, and there's a big upside for Oculus. When they do launch the Oculus Touch handheld controllers, the games that come for that are going to be some of the best that I and some other people who have been following this for years have seen. It's fantastic contraption. It's I Expect You to Die. It's Eagle Flight, which was shown for the first time a couple of weeks ago, which is you as an eagle flying over Paris and getting into 3-on-3 bird fights. It's some of these games that aren't around yet are the ones to really look forward to, which is not to say that it's an anemic launch slate. It's certainly not. But I would say that there are maybe a third of that is standout titles and really worth your money. And the price on these games, you know, it goes everywhere from about $10 up to a full $60. Project Cars, which is a really fully drawn racing sim, is a full $60 like any console AAA title would be. And while I haven't gotten far enough into it to say that it justifies that price, it's certainly enough content to justify that price.
So how long, like in minutes, were you able to use it? How much time did you spend? I mean, at a time, like did you, like 15 minutes longer?
Oh, an hour easily. You know, I had one moment of pronounced discomfort, and it was from one of the games that was rated the lowest tier. It was rated the most comfortable, but for whatever reason, I was whipping my head back and forth. I was getting a little vehement playing air hockey against an alien, and I had just eaten, and it just wasn't. It wasn't a great sensation, but beyond that, you know, these are the puzzles that the team at Oculus and teams at every VR hardware company have been working on for a very long time now. So we know that latency is down well under that kind of magical 20 millisecond threshold, and the display technology has been such that image smear has basically been eliminated. There are very few things to get in the way of your brain and your visual system and your balance system getting along. It takes a lot for that to be interrupted. So what also helps is that I've been using VR for various durations for a long time now. So certainly there's, you know, it's like you have your sea legs for VR. So for people who've never used it before, a desktop system is certainly the most stable place to start. You give someone Google Cardboard and tell them to go nuts, a few minutes later, they may be looking at you a little green. but you give someone the stability of something with all the bells and whistles that the Rift has or the Vive has or PlayStation VR will have when it comes out later this year, and there's a baseline level of comfort that's just harder to get away from.
It's interesting. Do you, you mentioned briefly, you know, the most stable position or the most stable platform is probably going to be the higher end and on a PC. One nice thing about this one, it ships and is arriving now and will be for the next, you know, however long these pre-orders take to get to people, like 30 days for me. They look like a complete product. In fact, you mentioned in your review, it's a little, you know, very Apple packaging, very almost misleading. Like this is some sort of luxury device and that all is there for you to do, but it's always kind of evident to most of us that, oh, yeah, I need a $1,500 plus PC to run this thing. And a lot of people aren't really set up for that. How much do you think that's going to work against this or the Vive or any other device that requires more than, say, a PlayStation 4 or, in the case of, you know, Gear VR, a phone?
You know, it's a great question, and that's the kind of thing we're going to need more than a year to see. You know, the in the much talked about hype cycle, we are going probably pretty quickly into the what's known as the trough of disillusionment, which means that whether people don't want to buy in for a $1,000 PC rig that'll run this thing, or they try it at a friend's house and they don't see the holodeck from Star Trek Next Generation and they write it off, over the next year, you're going to see a lot of people trying it, but it's also not going to become ubiquitous the way we have a feeling it will become. It's not going to take a year. It's going to take 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. As far as this first generation, the obstacle that needing to buy a full PC presents, it's impossible for us to know. You know, certainly this is something that Oculus and HTC and Valve and Facebook, by extension of their acquisition of Oculus, these are all things they're aware of and are prepared for. And I would imagine that their projected figures take that into account. So what is considered to be success for them is not going to be success on the level of the iPhone 4 or thereafter. We remember the first iPhone when you bought it and there wasn't even really an app store. You know, when you put the Rift's first generation next to the first iPhone, it is a more polished product. There is a fuller slate of things you can do. It has been refined and refined and refined and refined. And so what you need to do is extrapolate out this idea that it's going to take successive iterations to turn this thing into the thing that everybody has in their home. Certainly as years go by and the power of the PC that's needed now becomes offloaded into increasingly more powerful smartphones, this will in time become a standalone device. This is a refined product, but it's also a refined product that's as advanced as it could possibly be in 2016, which is not yet at the level of sci-fi.